I am, of course, that's suggesting that people actually know and or care who I am. Hello, start again. I'm Andy Wright. At the other end, we have the great Michael Morris. Greetings, good sir.
How you doing, buddy?
Yeah, good, good. I'm feeling fresh today. Been doing doing some really good workouts in the morning. Today, we did a little CrossFit number, me and Sarah, and feeling fresh, although cooked. I've been pushing the boat out a bit when it comes to the exercise, so the body's a bit fragile at the moment.
So have you hooked into like an app or a group television thing that's all the rage at the moment? What have you hooked into in terms of your CrossFit?
Well, to be honest, you know, this is being a little true here, a little honest. I hate working out with other people. Gyms, I hate gyms. In a lot of areas of my life, I don't actually like people, particularly when it comes to group exercise. I've been doing home workouts for like the last couple of years. So I've just got some kettlebells. I swing those around. The only person I work out with that I don't mind is Sarah. So we've just been doing little things that I've done over the past couple of years. And the hardest part with all this is that Sarah's actually better than me.
At what?
This exercise. She can actually push herself harder than I can.
Oh, I see.
It's really threatening to my masculinity. But that said, hey, she's the one who decided to marry me. So her fault.
Well, she hasn't ticked that box just yet.
Yeah, true, true. She's got time to get out. any updates from your end of the world in the past 24 hours?
Not really. It's Groundhog Day, isn't it? It's wake up and then you remember what's going on and you're like, ah, I've got to go grab myself a coffee.
Yeah, time is very strange. You don't really know what day it is. No, I genuinely don't know what day of quarantine it is. It's all really just mashing into this one strange blob of time. Just before we get into Carl Fenton, there's something that popped up online that I was tagged in the other day, and I thought this was really great. So this was posted by the New Zealand Open, and they're just doing like little exposés of new opens way back in the day.
Okay.
So in 1907, it was the second edition of the New Zealand Open. It was played at Otago Golf Club, Bal McEwen Golf Club in Dunedin. So that course, side note, is amazing. The 11th hole at Bal McEwen, Eric Anders Lang did a bit of a piece on that as well, but the 11th hole in Dunedin at Balmac was rated in the world top 18.
Wow.
As one of the greatest holes in the world. And this wasn't like years and years and years and years ago. It was in reasonable time ago. It's amazing. And it's so strange because the course is kind of here or there. And then you get to hole 11 and it's like you're in this completely different space. But anyway, in that year, the winner was a guy called J.A. Clements from Whanganui. He was only 19 years old, and apparently he went on to win in 1909 and 1912. But the fascinating thing is, listen to the scores that he shot to win in 1907 around Balmac.
Go for it.
Round one, he shot 83, so I'm assuming that's 11 over.
Okay.
And then he had 9 over in the second round.
Okay.
He had 16 over in the third round.
Ooh.
And then so 88, so he just broke 90. And then he shot 11 over in the final round, 83, a total of 335 shots for 72 holes. And he won by a shot over D. Wood.
I'd stand a chance back then, wouldn't I, mate?
Yeah, exactly. Well, that was why I was tagged in this. My mate tagged me going, hey, mate, you might make the top 10 in that year. I was like, you bastard. How dare you?
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. It just shows, how much technology and fitness and all that sort of stuff has evolved over the years with the game. And one of the things now, too, is there's a lot of guys who are on zero handicaps, but they are zero handicaps around their home course because they know every nook and cranny and they've got the technology. So they're actually just hitting bombs everywhere and getting away with it. But those old school guys that were actually on zero handicaps were genuine craftsmen because they were playing on courses that are not too dissimilar to what we're playing on now. And they had crap technology, crap balls, and they're still shooting even par. So yeah, I'd love to get a person from those old days, bring them to now, chuck them on a course and give them the tech and just see how much better they are, if they're better at all.
Mm.
But shall we catch up with Carl?
We shall. Let's dial them up.
Joining us now, the Sector Relationship Manager for New Zealand Golf, the one and only Carl Fenton. Hello, good sir.
How are you?
Yeah, I'd say Michael and I jump between a sort of 5 and a 9 out of 10. How about yourself, Carl? Because it's very strange times indeed.
Yeah, strange times, mate. I guess I'm a little bit lucky in the sense that I'm actually quite enjoying, you know, some of the lockdown stuff. I don't have a 2-hour commute each day, which means I'm getting out and exercising a lot more. I actually get to have a coffee with my wife in the morning as opposed to just high five over at night time when I get home. So, you know, there are some positives, but I'm very, very busy, obviously, with the current climate.
What's the state of play at the moment from your perspective when it comes to the game of golf in New Zealand?
Interesting. Big question. I'm not sure I'll do it justice by, you know, just on what's happening right now, but we're under a fair bit of pressure obviously. Our main product is getting people out for an experience in a communal sense, you know, with family, with friends, with other people. And currently we can't do that. So it puts a lot of pressure on the finances. It puts a lot of pressure on the people leading clubs. You know, there's a couple of sides to it. They've all the clubs have rallied together. They're meeting regularly online and trying to help each other out. And we just don't know where this is all going to land for golf going forward. You know, we don't have that crystal ball. So we're just trying to deal with the here and the now and figure out, you know, how things could look given 3-4 months time.
Do you think, Carl, I mean, does this, I guess this further enhances the need, I know it's something you're very passionate about, to produce material and communications from the industry to the public and to those other parts of government. Just how important golf is to the economy, isn't it? I mean, this is at the time when we need to be able to show New Zealand the importance of golf and how it really fits into the economy.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the value of golf is well understated in this country, and it's something we're working towards with the New Zealand Golf Industry Council around a piece of research really trying to articulate all of the different angles of golf and the value that it brings economically, socially, through health and well-being, just to kind of get a marker as to what we do for New Zealand.
That's a good point, because we all know the stereotypes of golf. You even see it in the news, you know, whenever there is any story to do with golf, it's either Lydia Ko or Danny Lee or Ryan in the sports section, or if it's front page, it's some old rich businessman who evaded tax somehow, you know? So that's all. There's not this middle ground. And I know there's efforts too, but those old stereotypes run very deep, and at times like this, they do no favours for the game.
Yeah, mate, you're not wrong. What's the first thing that they say after they talk about a good golf performance? It's how much they won, right?
Yes.
And so it all comes down to the dollars and the cents. The reality is that in the rest of the world, particularly in the States, there's a status attached to golf that just does not align with New Zealand. You know, New Zealand, primarily, golf is a working class, volunteer-led, not-for-profit, charitable scenario. You know, if it wasn't for our volunteers, this game wouldn't exist. You know, 200 of our clubs are either completely volunteer-led or being very close to being volunteer-led. So about 50% of them.
Yeah, so true, so true. And for example, my favourite tournament, hands down, and I think forever will be, is the Poverty Bay Open in Gisborne. And it's not because you win the biggest prize. Most of the time you end up giving your prize away to some of the young juniors that have gone out there to really give it a go. But it's all community. People come out from all over the place. A big busload of us dudes go down there and play it. It's cheap. They put food on and the course is immaculate. And I can honestly say I have better time playing that than when I played Kate Kidnappers, Royal Birkdale and all these beautiful courses. I would rather be in Gisborne playing that event.
Yeah, mate, it sounds like you're a very similar golfer to me. I enjoy going to the hidden gems around the place where you can just sit down with some real salt of the earth people. You know, they're super passionate about the game. The club is, you know, a massive part of the community. And that's one of the best things about golf in New Zealand. It's a primarily a community-based game.
So, Carl, tell us a little bit more about your history and how you got into working with New Zealand Golf.
My journey to golf and to New Zealand Golf as an instrument, I've always been a sports fan and a sports fanatic. I love almost all sports. In fact, I really enjoy watching a lot of sports, which I wish I could do a bit more at the moment. I started golf late in life, so in my early 30s, which was, you know, about 5 or so years ago, and I primarily play with mates for banter and for laughs and for getting out and a way for us to connect. You know, we've got young families, we've got busy jobs, we all sort of struggle to make time for each other, but if we can pick up a ball and play nine, that's a really good excuse to spend a couple of hours together. So the majority of my golf is either played there, or would you believe it, myself. I love going out to some of the smaller country courses by myself and getting a couple of hours just to, you know, fang a ball around, usually all over the place. Yeah, get a bit of time for my own mental health and well-being. That's kind of the way that I play the game.
There's nothing better than getting a quick nine in as the sun's going down by yourself. It's if you haven't experienced, you just never know. It's so good with all the light coming off the hills and through the bunkers and, oh, damn.
Yeah, it's a good experience, eh? And that's exactly why I play the game.
Because it's one of the few sports, yeah, cool. Carl, that I mean, it's obvious, isn't it, that when we are back to a level 3, level 2 scenario, it's a sport that actually people will be able to do with relatively low contact with other people. And as you say, by yourself even. So, you know, it's one of those sports that's going to get people back into, you know, some sort of sense of normality.
Yeah, mate, 100%. Golf is positioned extremely well to be a part of the solution as we start to decrease the alert levels, but only if our product's going to be good enough to service those people. So you've nailed it. You know, we can be almost contactless in most scenarios, and it's a good way to, you know, stay within your bubble but get active. It has obviously a lot of mental health benefits. When I was writing to my own MP and also to MB on this, it was one of the things I pushed for quite hard, was to say that we can be part of the solution when we get out the end of this.
And Carl, you're the chairman of the New Zealand Golf Industry Council, which is, you know, a big body from all the different parts of the game, like the greenkeepers, the players, and what are the other areas of New Zealand Golf Industry Council?
There's 11 different sectors within the Industry Council, and you're really going to be testing my brain here because I'll probably forget one.
Okay. We won't go through them. Don't worry. Yeah,
there's pretty much everything that makes up golf. So wider than just our clubs, our associations, and our players, but the things that add value to the economy around turf maintenance, machinery, golf tourism, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay. So there was going to be a big conference called the All of Golf Conference that we were, you know, grateful to be a part of. Can you let us all know what's happening there, where that's at?
Mate, it's still happening. It's definitely still happening. We've put in far too much work for it not to happen. It's just more likely to be a 2021 window than obviously any time in 2020. And the cool thing is a lot of the speakers that we spoke to, the international people who are coming over, are still really keen to be involved. And all of the associations who make up the Golf Industry Council are really keen to deliver something. So it's proof that there is something in this conference which has really got people excited.
How is the team at NZ Golf at the moment? You're all remote. How are you guys keeping in touch, and what's the morale like?
Yeah, it's a really interesting scenario for us, but not too different than normal. We've got quite a fluid and transitional office because a great number of our staff are at any one time are out in the community doing work, whether that's running tournaments or supporting clubs and districts. So it's not too odd for us to be working remote. We're very lucky to have an extremely good culture amongst the team. We're obviously, you know, we've got passionate golfers and people who are passionate about the people in golf. They're obviously a bit concerned, you know, they're concerned for the people they serve. As a team, we're extremely busy and operating well and just trying to work hard to support golf at the minute.
Well, Carl, we appreciate your time. It's really nice to be able to do this podcast because we can talk about the game from all these different angles. So thank you very much. And there's a passion that you have for this that is really refreshing. So go you, good stuff, and all the best for the future.
Yeah, cheers, guys. And the same to you. It's good to have good people talking about the game. So, yeah, keep up the good work.
Thanks, mate. Look forward to catching up with you down the line.
Look forward to it.
Cool. Cheers, Carl. See you later, mate.
Thanks, Carl.
Awesome. See you, guys.
See ya. He is a good dude.
He's a great guy. I love Carl.
Yeah. Once again, we get to see why golf is great, because you can start at any time. He started in his early 30s.
And what a great advocate as well. Sounds like he's working really hard to get the game we love back in some kind of shape for when we can finally enjoy it again.
Yeah, let's hope we can get back on the course soon. All the best, everybody. Look after yourselves, and we'll see you next time on The Golfers Show.
Bye-bye.